want to go out. Want to stay in. Get things done.
Feeling great.
Feeling with my hands. How you feeling, Dan?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. What's the deal?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band Good Time Podcast. The only podcast right now that identifies, biographies, and pixelates. No.
Pixelates, no.
Digitizes.
Rasterizes.
Digitizes. All the figures on the Beatles' 1967 album cover, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I am one of your hosts, Joe Lindbergh, and I am joined
by one of your other hosts, Dan Handelman.
And together we are joined
by our other host,
Jamie.
Welcome back, Jamie Lekthai. Winston.
Winston Lekthai.
Winston, I'd like to just give this to you on behalf of British public.
British public.
You're blues, John.
Thank you for having me back, guys.
Absolutely. We had a great time with you yesterday when we did it.
Yeah.
As far as they know.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, you were sitting over here then.
Remind me.
That was yesterday?
It was actually 30 seconds ago. All we did was change seats. Nothing in the world has changed. Nothing in politics has changed.
We've been in this room for
about 45 minutes.
45 minutes, yeah, exactly.
45 minutes tops.
Yeah. Tops, yeah.
Yeah, because the last time we talked about...
Yeah, remind me.
Oh, Lord.
Stuart Sutcliffe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
OG one.
And who was he again?
He was like one of the OG Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first bass player.
Bass player, correct.
That was keeping score at home.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked about Klaus Voormann in that one, and I learned a lot more about him since. So Klaus Voormann was...
You're telling me in the past 45 minutes you've learned a substantial amount more.
I stepped right in it, yeah. Stepped into the download.
Plugged into the internet and
just
downloaded everything.
You can do that.
Did you know?
Just do that.
Did you know you can just do that?
Plug in?
You can just do that.
Plug in and tune out.
Yeah, you can just plug it in and be like, what do you think of this?
What do you think of this award?
You got a plug? Here, hold on. What do you think of that?
So, Jamie, we all know that you're a connoisseur when it comes to music. I have a lot of respect for your musical taste. In fact, we were just listening to the EDM Beach Boys album last night. Didn't know the Beach Boys had an EDM record,
correct,
but they did.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds awesome.
Jamie's also
it's a really good album.
A big comedy fan.
Correct. I love comedy.
And today we're talking about
love to laugh.
Max Miller, who was one of the first stand-up comedians. Jamie, what's your sort of thing with comedy? What's your whole deal with comedy?
What's your deal?
What's my deal?
Yeah.
Elaborate. What do you mean, like?
Like, what's your vibe when it comes to jokes and laughing?
I'm a big fan of physical comedy, I think. That was really what got me into comedy when I first grew up. It's like Jim Carrey, obviously, was iconic. But
oh, yeah.
Chris Farley. Mm-hmm. Was a huge inspiration, but I would say early comedy was my parents, SNL, you know,
mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. George Carlin, so kind of all over the place. But
physical comedy, satire.
Yeah, satires are great. Yeah,
I know you're into National Lampoon.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good stuff.
All right,
fantastic stuff. I actually just acquired. A couple months ago, the full, discography on vinyl of George Carlin's stand-up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
How much did that run you?
I got it for free, actually. I have a coworker that I met, had an old collection of vinyl, wanted to just give it away to somebody.
So love that.
Acquired
That's
it
what
free.
George would have wanted.
So I haven't listened to all of them, but it's good.
Nice.
Did you try playing them all at once? You almost had a spit take there. That was good.
That would have been great.
How long, if you played all of George Carlin's albums at once, all of them at the same time, how long do you think it would take?
Okay, so do this.
For the word.
Just start talking.
Hold on.
It would circle the planet five times. And then it would circle the planet five times more.
Like, I'll start talking and then what it would sound like.
It would sound.
How many albums?
It would make a sound.
Probably has like eight albums.
Eight albums? All right, so eight albums. All
six or something.
You start playing them all at the same time. How long do you think it would take for them to all sync up with him saying fuck at the same time?
Oh, that's actually really cool. That would be pretty sweet. That or like, what if like his voice just like went into this, like it all syncopated into this like natural like tone, like a frequency.
It just starts sounding like Tuvan throat singing.
Yeah, like Dune, you know, like just.
Yeah, the overtones.
Yeah.
Yeah, overtone singing is just all of George Carlin's albums played at once. That's how they learned to do that in Tibet. They got George Carlin, like as soon like he just blew up over there in Tibet.
Tibet.
Everyone had a Carlin record, and since Tibet's so small, they were all playing him at the same time. You know, in those windows.
And it opened a door to a different reality.
Just a whole different genre of music.
I mean, it was definitely brushed under the rug. Very hush-hush. We'll probably get in trouble if we're actually talking about it right now.
You think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is listening to George Carlin cultural appropriation?
What?
It's certainly cultural.
What are your...
I don't know if it's appropriate.
Who are your comedy G's?
Top comedy G's? Andy Kaufman is a top tier.
Nice.
He's great.
For me. Bill Murray, Will Ferrell, Craig Proops.
Greg Proops.
Proops. The San.
Greg
the San Fran. He's one of the rotating fourth guests on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
He's also the smartest man in the world. Self
proclaimed.
No. That's Ryan Stiles. No, that's yeah, Ryan Stiles.
He's the one that looks like the dude, the cartoon of the Descendants. The guy on the Descendants album covers. He looks like that.
Oh, he also looks like Austin. He looks like Austin Powers, actually.
He does kind of look like Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got like Andrew Jackson hair.
Oh, yeah, baby.
That was a great show. I love that.
Whose Line?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. I feel like that was like a, like back when TV still was like a staple where like you were like, oh, I've got my Wednesday show.
Mm-hmm.
I watch that 70s show or whatever. But yeah, it's good stuff.
Speaking of Whose Line, Drew Carey connection there.
Oh, yeah. Drew Carey also looks like the cover of the Descendants album.
Even more so, yeah. But
Cher laughed with that. That was interesting. I think the nice. Leather combined with the leather, and it was like,
Drew Carey brings us to Cleveland, which brings us to where we are now. Also,
the Golden Ox Studio.
The Golden Ox Studio here in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Cleveland Tremont.
We love it at Golden Ox.
We do. It's great to be back here again for 45 minutes later.
45 minutes.
A lot has changed in the past 45 minutes.
So, well, you learned so much more about Stuart Sutcliffe.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but time stands still in Golden Ox Studio, right? Like right now.
Yeah. It's kind like of a Videodrome situation.
The cat, you know, cat thing going on right now. That's mm-hmm. the only movement of time that we have going on.
It's sort of like a Cronenberg Videodrome kind of situation. In fact,
it's our own thing.
In fact, not being weird, but you should probably check under your shirt and make sure that you don't have a VHS cassette tape player built
into
your chest.
Honestly, this could be an episode of The Twilight Zone.
It could be.
It's probably been discussed in this room before.
I don't know. I can tell you that there used to be a podcast.
No, yeah, I thought
there used to be a podcast at Golden Ox called the Zone Zone.
The Zone Zone.
A friend of mine.
Okay.
Dave Sabil, who we all know, him and someone else used to talk about all the episodes of The Twilight Zone, which is also a great idea.
It is.
I don't think they went over the 80s Twilight Zone, because why would you?
That still got the best opening scare, though, with Dan Aykroyd in the car. Do you remember that one? Or was that The Outer Limits?
Was that the movie?
It was the movie, yes.
The movie thing had Dan Aykroyd. Yeah.
So good.
Someone got their head chopped off while that movie was being made. A helicopter crashed, and the blade chopped off a bunch of people's heads. Not joking, when they made the Twilight Zone movie.
Mm. Was Alec Baldwin flying the helicopter?
No.
Oh, God.
Too soon?
Didn't he get... I don't want to get off track. That's a different story.
But yeah, here we are at the Golden Ox Studio, home of the 1 5-star review.
Home of the new flesh. Long live the new flesh. There's one review. It's not really a review. It's just kind of a rating.
Okay.
But let's see what that rating is. Because I want to know how the one person that decided to rank their experience at Golden Ox. Five stars. Golden Ox Studio.
Well done.
Cleveland, Ohio. 5 out of 5 stars.
That's pretty good.
It's great. It's the top.
Hey, they set the bar. There's no higher recommendation than 5 stars.
Yeah, they set the top of that.
How many other podcasting studios in Cleveland have 5 stars?
Let me check.
Let alone...
None.
A single 5-star review.
Yeah, that's 100% 5 stars.
100% of the rankings are 5-star rankings.
So we're honored to be here again.
Correct.
Privileged.
Even.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to check our privilege right now to get into some funny business.
Checking in at the door.
We're talking about Max Miller.
Maxwell Miller.
Who
well.
Seems to be one of the first stand-up comedians... in the way that we at least think of stand-up. He was definitely one of the most popular of his generation. He was born Thomas Henry Sargent on November 21st, 1894.
Interesting.
Sargent?
Yeah.
Mm. I wonder if that had anything to factor
into. It's spelled differently.
But
it's not just three letters?
Much differently. I think there's just not an... How do you spell Sargent, like, in the general sense? I don't mean general like a regular. I mean general like if you're a general in the military, how would you spell
it? Sargent, but I feel like there's an A in there. It's like one of those weird ones. It's like
I think it's just the A and then the E.
Yeah, you know.
Sear Sergeant.
Sergeant.
That's like how if you type it into the text to speech, you're like Sergeant.
Sea agent, sea teller.
Sea agent.
Oh, it's like when he tried to do, what's it called?
Sea agent man.
Sea agent Pepper.
What?
Sea agent Pepper.
Agent Cumper.
Sea Sergeant Pepper, goddammit. Sergeant Pepper. Sergeant Pepper. All right, yeah. His father was a manual laborer.
Mm,
and his mother... Laborer.
Hardly know her.
Annual Hey Haber.
Hey.
That's an interesting name. Hey, Haber.
Hey, neighbor.
Sold flowers. Jesus Christ.
She was a drug dealer?
It doesn't say that she was a florist. It says she sold flowers.
What got him, though, into being a comedian?
I think being poor. Because
he was around, like, early on. We were discussing that, like... Because we talked about it before.
Before him, everybody was sitting down?
Well, his family was poor. He had 3 other brothers and 2 sisters, and they moved around a lot because they couldn't afford rent. So he was always changing schools. That probably has an effect on your sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of material to work with.
He dropped out of school.
At a lot of angst.
Tender age.
Creativity.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the original Bono.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, he was the first.
It's a fantastic comparison. I don't think we'll ever hear that comparison ever again. That's amazing.
That was grunge, wasn't it?
What's that? Comedy with
U2?
U2.
Yeah.
You talking U2 to me?
It was a little grungy.
I guess U2 would be like.
No, U2 would like practice in like school rooms when they just started out.
Yeah.
And, all right. And they would do like shows that were kind of like protest shows. They were.
Yeah, so like more punk.
Okay.
Activist, yeah.
Say more punk.
Well, Max Miller dropped out of school at 12 years old, so if...
A ripe age.
Wow.
12. That's great.
That's ripe, like sixth grade
tender
education.
Tender.
What did this...
It was probably senior year back then, but...
Yeah, but I mean, with your life... what year was this?
14...
Was this like turn of the century?
Well, he was born in 1894, so when he was 12, it would have been 1902.
So just after the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, life expectancy at that point. I mean, dropping out of school at 12 is not unrealistic.
Probably all of his siblings dropped out of school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because they wanted. There wasn't any probably slave labor at that point.
No.
Children's labor. Well,
not in England. We all know the English.
Not my England.
They didn't have kids working like that in the coal mines. Not England.
Just Oliver.
They totally did.
Just anyway. The every boy. Just Charles Dickens's every orphan. It's an every orphan story, you know?
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Even if you're not an orphan, you can relate.
You can relate to orphans.
Like, you know what? I think I could be an orphan after reading Dickens. I think I could go up and be like, please, sir, can I have some more soup?
It's almost like romanticized, you know? Like, Peter Pan is basically just a homeless orphan fantasy.
No, Peter Pan was children just a kid that just didn't want to go to bed.
But no, but you're supposed to relate to the other kids, Wendy and Michael and John, and they don't want to have parents. They just want to kick it. And that's what it was like in England, because parents were so strict, all the kids wanted to be orphans.
How strict were they?
They were so strict that you could find an old man to work for, for usually 2 shillings a day. Sometimes you would see titties.
So you dropped out of school, 12?
Yeah, you dropped out of school at 12, and then 8 years later, World War I started. 1940.
Coincidence?
I don't know. I don't know.
He's the one that he was the tipping point for the war.
He immediately enlisted. Maybe some kind of guilt?
Maybe. No, because his last name is Sergeant.
Yeah. He was already, he was born.
He was predisposed. Yeah.
He was bred, yeah.
Anyway, so the war happens.
So he was like 20 years old at this point, and he served in France, India, Mesopotamia, which I didn't even know was a country in the 1930s. Yeah.
Shout out to Mesopotamia.
Right? Shout out to Mesopotamia.
No one's talking about Mesopotamia anymore.
That's where all the monsters come from in horror movies, right?
Yeah.
Mesopotamia.
I think you're right.
Anyway, he was blinded for 3 days while he was in Mesopotamia.
Blinded?
Goddamn. Yeah, blinded.
By what?
The light?
I don't know.
Yeah, the light?
Was probably, he staring at the sun?
Probably, I don't know, probably poison or something. It was only for 3 days, but when he got older later on in life, he was an advocate for the blind. That became a big deal to him in his old age.
Interesting.
It's good to find a cause.
He was already performing while he was in the army. He started a troop concert party, which are also called Perot shows.
Perot shows.
If you don't know what a Perot show is, look it up. It's like
Rochambeau.
Punch and Judy, but you dress up as the characters, if you can imagine that. Basically, you're like everyone's a clown, and it's a soap opera about clowns fucking each other
it's
over.
It's just clowns.
Clowns getting fucked over by other clowns, getting revenge.
But it's just clowns, though.
Yeah, but they're clowns.
But they're not scary clowns.
No, they're French clowns.
Like the little white cap.
Yes.
And the white face. I mean, clowns are still scary.
Oh, like the Terrifier guy.
Yeah, but think less Terrifier.
And they're not colorful.
More like, I would let this person entertain my children during their birthday party. But he would be like, it's very like opera.
Well, yeah, because they only painted their faces white. They didn't really like exaggerate the details of their.
That guy that's in L.A. that does that. He does covers of like Radiohead and stuff. What's his name?
Oh yes,
he does the.
He's good.
I can't remember his name. Anyway,
and he's a Perot. That's what they call those guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
He does the whole everything.
Or at least in Perot so he was garb.
Troop.
Yeah, he started the troop while he was in the military, and then after he got out, his mom died of the flu in 1918, and that was rough. So he joined another Perot troop in 1919, and that's where he met his wife, Kathleen Marsh.
Was she in the troop?
Yeah, she was a performer. I don't know if she was in. Yeah, she was in the troop too. That's why how they met each other. But she was also a smart business lady. Kathleen Marsh, that was her name.
I went to high school with the Kathleen Marsh.
It was probably her daughter.
The same person.
No, it's probably just like her daughter.
It has to be. I mean, but we've only been in here for 45 minutes, but I feel like we've been
Yeah, it's still just been 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, my tummy's starting to itch, and I've got this weird discharge coming out of it.
To do with any of this? Is that what you would...
I don't know, I just feel like I'm changing... I feel kind of sexual, too. Anyway.
It's palpable. It can feel the energy.
Someone give me a VHS tape.
I think you're about to say
this overwhelming urge to shove it into myself.
Somebody give me a cheeseburger.
You're about to say, somebody give me a V8, please, now.
Should have had a V8.
That sounds great.
So they started dating and then became a double act.
Okay.
But he was funnier. Okay. So he became a solo act, started doing variety shows, did that for about a decade. And then in 1930 or 1929, he found an agent, a new agent from the one he had before named Julius Jaruski. And from then on, he's just exploded everywhere. He was going to, like, the London Palladium, the Holborn Empire. These were huge concert venues. He was top billed, like, out of nowhere. He just...
Correct me if I'm wrong. You said that he was one of, like, the first, like, technically stand-up comedians, right? Like, just a solo bill, just him. He wasn't a part of, like, a group of acts or anything. He was...
Yeah, at this point, he was.
That's cool.
He was top billed as a solo act. In fact,
what's he on the cover? I've never seen it.
Oh yeah, thanks for asking, Jamie. Yeah, also good time for everybody out there. You know what to do.
Covers.
Whip it out. You know, make your bed with those Sgt. Pepper sheets. We're looking on the left side here. You got your Sutcliffe right above the blue hat. If you just look right of the blue hat, you got a big old smiley face with a white hat. And that's who we're talking about,
like
Mr.
That.
Max Miller.
He's got some, like, Archie comic vibes. He's got that, he just looks like a good guy.
Yeah, it looks like he's gonna make you laugh.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's out for chuckles.
Yeah, he's going to have you over for a nice, it's going to be a group of people, gonna have, like, a nice meal, and he's just going to make you laugh. Like, you know, spit out wine.
I trust him.
Oh, yeah. I trust him, too.
I'd laugh.
A Perot clown? I would trust him over that. Yeah, for sure.
Do you want to hear a review of his performance? Because there are written reviews that still exist.
Absolutely.
All right.
So let's get a feel, a little taste.
I don't know. While you're looking it up, Dan, so, Joe, I got a question for you on this. Since
I'm not looking anything up.
An expert.
Go ahead.
Well, you're looking it up in your mind because you're plugged into the internet. I thought this is what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. We're just using our minds.
So,
right.
It's like Neo. You're like, I just learned Kung Fu. But you're
Stop
like.
Distracting me from
anyway,
interacting.
So,
that's a pretty good Keanu.
You surf the internet and stay plugged in. But my question is, so the cover of the album itself, as far as who they picked and selected, I mean, it's a wide array of different people. Why do you think they picked him as a person?
You know, he's not the only comedian. I think, the Beatles did enjoy comedy.
For sure.
Especially like a slapstick kind of thing, too. Like the kind of physical comedy that you were talking about that you enjoy. Like Hard Day's Night was full of that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Playfulness to it. Especially even the new one that Peter Jackson did. I mean, they're just like the most... I mean, it's obviously such a long piece, but like it's... awesome. I think the most parts that I liked the most were when they were just goofing around, you know, like whether it was just like, I think there's that one scene where Ringo comes in and he's like, oh, hello, Paul. And Paul's like, oh, good morning. And then he's like, well, shall we play piano? And they're like, yeah. And then they just go into this, like, you know, like honky tonk song or whatever.
Yep.
And it's just absolutely ridiculous. And they just go, they're like, all right, well, we'll see you later.
Now we're going to write Let It Be.
Like acting that's what their relationship was like, that they would just meet up and immediately start playing like robots
I mean,
and be like, bye.
I feel like you had said, like with Hard Day's Night, I mean, there's a lightheartedness to it. And I think that it made it almost more human about them. Like, I mean, obviously the Beatles at that point in time were like pinnacle. But I feel like when you saw stuff like that, you're like, oh, this is just a regular person, you know? Like,
yeah, they were charming,
but it made it fun too. So, but was that the only comedian or act that's on there?
No,
savvy with everything.
George Carlin's on there.
Which one? Like, is it the frequency that
yeah.
he becomes,
it's
or
part
is
of
it
Revolution Number 9? It's during all the
shit.
Screaming where
that's
hear all the yeah.
It's that's the frequency.
If you slow down the song Revolution Number 9. To the exact length of George Carlin's first record, it actually is just George Carlin's first record.
Mm.
Just dropping truth bombs over here. But no, like you got Lenny Bruce. I'd consider.
Forgot about Lenny Bruce's on.
Consider Mae West, you know, a comedian. As you got W.C. Fields, Abbott and Costello.
Mm.
It's the loaded. There's that one guy who was like the radio. I think, Dan, you talked about him.
Is it Orson Welles?
He did like the sort of like sitcoms on the radio kind of thing. Remember? From season two?
No.
Well, that reminds me of like those early
Fibber McGee and Molly.
Mm. Tommy Hadley.
Oh, Tommy Hadley.
Yeah, that's the one. Mm-hmm.
Because they would do. That
we haven't talked about him in at least an hour and a half.
Definitely not.
Oh my gosh, hour and a half. That was like yesterday,
right?
But it wasn't.
Feels like it.
Because we're here in Golden Ox Studios,
and we have been for Ohio. At least an hour and a half.
Yeah. Where time doesn't stand still, but actually is in plank position.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The entire
definitely
time.
Planks. It's stacks of them because there's multiple layers of it. For sure.
Planks all the way down.
So, I guess the other part of it is like I get it. So when they picked the people to be on there, I guess my question is like, it seems like it's a wide array of things, but a lot of it seems like entertainers or public figures and everything. Did they have a specific direction when they were putting that together? Do you know too much?
They were all just asked to make a list.
Just make a list.
Yeah.
Ringo didn't pick anyone.
See, I like that though, because that reminds me of like Warhol stuff. Like when Andy Warhol did art, like a lot of the stuff that he picked were things that he grew up with and saw, you know, the
Campbell's soup.
A lot of TV at that point in time was so big. So like the idea of, you know, popular figures or whatever, even stuff on TV, that became part of his like fabric of his artwork. And I could see that. It's interesting to do that with an album cover. That's pretty cool. I was just curious. I didn't know too much about it. I knew a couple of the faces on there, but
yeah, no, everyone on there is identifiable. Mm. Yeah,
you would think Andy Warhol would be on the cover.
No,
why not?
Well, because I probably at that point in time that would have been no. I think he would. That would have been. I don't think he was in the same realm with them. I think he was more.
Neither was the Rolling Stones, but they had that little picture that says "Welcome Rolling Stones."
Well, they knew Sticky Fingers album cover with him with the blue jeans with the zipper. Andy Warhol did that.
Okay.
So I think there it was a little different. To me, when I think of the Rolling Stones, I feel like they're the gritty Beatles, you know. And Andy Warhol was gritty. It was controversial. So I think them working with them were a little bit more. An alignment. I mean, I would see more the Beatles aligning with, and they did stuff with Peter Max for Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah.
I mean, Yellow Submarine. And Peter Max was the same thing, pop art, but
that's
it was psychedelic.
A good point.
You know, he did
the Beatles might have looked down on Andy Warhol.
A lot of people didn't like Andy Warhol, too.
I didn't like Andy Warhol.
He was polarizing.
Very pretentious. Very much so.
So, yeah, I have a review. Since we're talking about, who's this, George Orwell? Is he on the cover?
Who's George Orwell?
I don't know. Who's George Orwell? I guess George Orwell was a theater critic from the 1930s and 40s. He was a theater critic because he was, I guess, a struggling writer. So he's a struggling writer / theater critic named George Orwell, whoever the hell that is. But,
yeah, like Animal Farm.
Yeah, he wrote children's books. Yep. So here's a review.
In 1984, he wrote a children's book about animals on a farm.
Yeah. It was called Big Bird Goes to Grandma's House.
Yeah, no, Big Bird learns about capitalism.
What would Big Bird say about capitalism? He probably wouldn't understand because he's supposed to be 3 years old.
I don't think he would make any kind of statement.
He'd be like, what's that mean, Snuffy? What's capitalism? Anyway, here's George Orwell reviewing...
Max Miller.
Reviewing Max Miller.
Solo performance?
Well, the show was called Applesauce. It was a variety show. He said, anyone wanting to see something really vulgar should visit the Holborn Empire, where you can get quite a good matinee seat for 3 shillings. Max Miller, of course, is the main attraction, but there is a good supporting program with some brilliant sketches. So they were doing sketch comedy back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And then
like that would be a part of like that same type of act, though, like a traveling act, like more vaudeville, you know,
think of vaudeville, yeah,
physical, like less stand up and everything. But you were saying that he did more stand up.
Well, was British? Well, yes, he was a stand up comedian that did stand up routines. But when he was starting out, he was doing like theater stuff.
Yeah,
you know, but he wrote jokes, and he ended up being like a stand up comedian. Max Miller was also compared, there's another review of Max Miller by George Orwell. George Orwell really liked reviewing Max Miller.
Well, I mean, a lot of writers did that. I mean, if you didn't make any money, you would do stuff like that to make money, you know, like small stuff.
Yeah.
As up.
Yeah.
He like, said,
I mean, that's Stephen King did that stuff. I just found out about that recently.
Who's that?
Actually, this might be the same interview.
Stefan Keen.
Stefan Reyes.
Yeah, he did, like, early on, just because he didn't have any money, he would do, like, small little
fictional. Smut pieces.
Yeah, like, pulp stuff.
Yeah.
Poe, also, the same way.
He also did stuff for, like, editorial stuff, like just like what Orwell would do, you know? Because if you think about it, it's easy money.
Yeah. Do you think Philip Dick ever did any smut?
No, I feel like Philip Dick did a couple of cooking books.
Really?
Sure. Oh yeah. Interstellar Cooking, Cookbook for the Black Hole, Supernova.
I'm just making these up.
Look it up. I'm being honest.
Here's something that George Orwell said.
1001 ways to cook electric sheep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
1001.
There. You're on board with it. You get what I'm saying.
We can cook it for you. We can cook it for you wholesale. I'm done. I don't care anymore. George Orwell.
He cared.
He did. He cared so much.
How much did
he went on to say that on the vulgarity of Max Miller, that it's important such comedians exist. They express something which is valuable in our civilization and which might drop out of it in certain circumstances. To begin with, their genius is entirely masculine. A woman cannot be low without being disgusting, whereas a good male comedian can give the impression of something irredeemable and yet innocent, like a sparrow. Again, they're intensely national. They remind one
it
of
did
how
not age
closely.
Well.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, George Orwell is entitled to say that he doesn't think women are funny.
Yeah. You're starting to sound like Sean Connery.
They probably
Connery right
can't
now.
Write science fiction either.
Yeah, you've got the Sean Connery vibes going on. Every once in a while, you just gotta slap him.
Sometimes I think I'm too funny. They won't stop laughing. And then I just have to slap the shit out of them. If only I wasn't so fucking funny.
Is that what he said?
So Miller was a little bit more on the more provocative side, pushing the envelope.
Oh, yeah. They called him the Cheeky Chappy.
Cheeky Chappy.
Oh, man. Yeah. You didn't start off with that? That's a cool fact. The Cheeky Chappy.
Way to bury the lead there.
Cheeky Chappy.
Cheeky Chappy.
They called him the Cheeky.
Rolls off the tongue really well. Cheeky Chappy.
Well, it's English slang. It's British slang.
Wow, wow, wow. Cheeky Chappy.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's the inspiration.
For the Cheeky Chappy?
No, Cheeky Chappy inspired that song.
Cheeky Chappy. Cheeky Chappy. It's English slang, and it translates to the amusingly disrespectful man. That's what that means.
Cheeky?
The Cheeky Chappy. He was the Cheeky Chappy, which basically is just like saying, the amusingly disrespectful man. That's what that means. Because you're being like...
Thank you for all those synonyms.
Yeah, like I like it, though.
Yeah.
Because I think the way they did it was better. If he was an American comedian, he would have just been the amusingly disrespectful man, and that wouldn't have been.
He would have just been called the American.
You think they would have just called him the American?
Short and sweet.
Yeah.
That actually encapsulates the American experience.
There's only one way that you can really watch this guy's stand-up act, because almost everything he ever did has been lost with time. Mm-hmm. But there's a movie that he made that still exists called Hootsman. I don't know what it's about, but it's about a stand-up comedian named Harry Hawkins.
Mm.
Harry Hawkins,
played
the Hendersons.
By Max Miller. They even gave him alliteration in his name. So, like, obviously, Max used his own stand-up for the scenes where the character Harry Hawkins had to do stand-up, and that is really the only way that you can see what Max Miller's stand-up routine was like. Was by watching the movie Hootsman.
Hootsman.
What's his real name again? It wasn't Max, right? It was like Theodore?
It's like three. It was like a three name.
Well, they called him Harry.
No, but you would say there was a...
Like Max Miller's name isn't even...
His full name is Thomas Henry Sargent. His friends called him Harry.
Okay.
And then he changed his name to Max Miller. The Cheeky Chappy.
Is it Max Miller, the guy that did Sin City?
I think so.
Frank Miller.
Frank Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's his, like, grandson, I'm pretty sure.
Everybody is just related to all of our contacts that we're talking to.
Isn't everybody with the same last name related if you go back far enough?
That's why we have all this red string here, drawing everyone together.
Yeah, geez, I forgot about that. There's a lot of red string in here. A lot of people can see it, but it's here.
I think, like, if your name is Postman or something like that, or Mailman, or Goldman.
Birdman?
Maybe you're... But, like, what about weird names like Henderson? That just means, like, son of Hender.
I don't know.
Why would there be multiple families? Why would there be multiple people that name their kid Hender? It's not even a real name. So you would think that it would stand to reason that everyone with the last name Henderson, if you go back far enough, probably related. Yeah. At some point, right?
I see the logic there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to name your kid Hender?
No.
Are you going to name your kid Hender?
No, because I don't have that name.
No, as a first name, you mean, right?
As a first name.
No, absolutely not.
Obviously.
I mean, don't get me wrong, last Harry Henderson's is probably one of my, like, top-tier favorite 90s movies.
And who was Hender in that movie?
Well, Harry was the Sasquatch.
Yeah.
And the Hendersons were the family that lived in Seattle that hit him with their car.
Right.
It's not even white. No.
And then he would jump up when he would sit down on the couch. He had to jump up first for some reason because he couldn't just sit down. He had to jump up and then slam his butt onto the couch. And every time he'd go through the floor.
Yeah. But
because his Hender was so sunny.
So Max Miller was known for being kind of pervy. Once TV came around, he kept going, but he didn't really like TV that much because he didn't feel like it had the same give and take kind of energy of a live audience. He really liked the live audience. He liked being there and feeling what people are feeling and going off of that. And TV just didn't have that. Plus, he couldn't be naughty on TV. He could be naughty in his live shows, and he was naughty. Benny Hill was quoted... is saying by his own agent, Benny Hill's agent and close friend, Peter Charlesworth, is saying that Max Miller was one of the main reasons that Benny Hill got into comedy. And Benny Hill was one of the perviest guys in comedy, so if he thought that Chappie was cheeky, then he must have been a pretty cheeky Chappie, right?
You gotta know the cheek.
Benny Hill was like tying ladies' bikinis to strings while they weren't paying attention, and then he would like pull a little cord, and then
they hate that.
Bikinis would fly off, and then he'd start chasing them around. Right?
They hate when you do that.
They don't like it. You chase them around, take all their clothes off. And he started doing comedy because of the Cheeky Chappie. And we can never even see how cheeky that guy was because
Cheeky's chaps were.
Unless we watch the movie Hootsman.
Hootsman.
If we can find Hootsman, I really want to watch Hootsman because I want to see what was considered cheeky back then.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
Yeah, risque humor.
Here's some catchphrases that he used. Maybe they'll give some insight.
We love catchphrases.
It also says that he was the master of the double entendre. What is a double entendre?
It's when you say two things at once. They mean the same. They mean two things, but you say one thing and it means two.
Give me an example.
It makes it easy to, like, so the purpose of a double entendre is so you don't have to say two things. You can just say one thing. So if I want to tell a girl that her boobies are nice, but I also want to say that I like the can't, like, there's like soup and I want to eat the soup because it's good soup, I could be like, those are some nice cans. And then I like get to say both of those things at the same time. I can express that I like the cans because I've had the soup before and it's good, but I'm also saying that she has nice boobs and I don't have to say both of those things and have her be like, why did you say that you like my boobs and then start immediately talking about Campbell's chicken noodle soup, you know? Because that's like a weird juxtaposition.
Wow, check out those cans. She's going to be like, yeah, they're a good size. They're a B plus, you know, and that soup does look really good. She just immediately would know that. I feel like that's a horrible example, Dan.
I mean, you're expecting a lot of a person.
I think it was a fine example, Dan.
Thank you. Here are some of his catchphrases. Now, here's a funny thing. Listen, listen. I hope I'm doing these right.
Wow, they're pretty riveting.
There'll never be another. They don't make them anymore, duck. It's quack. People like you who give me a bad name. It's all clever stuff, no rubbish.
No rubbish.
How is your memory, gal? That one's kind of weird.
Hmm.
I feel like it's strange to ask a girl how her memory is doing.
How's your memory, gal?
Asking for a friend.
It's like, why do you need to know how my memory is doing? Am I supposed
your top
to
off.
Forget something? Yeah, just take your top off. All right, I'll just pull the string.
No rubbish.
It's all clever stuff.
All clever.
Here's another one. Miller's the name, lady. Or maybe it's Miller's the name, lady.
Probably the first way.
No, I think it's the first way. There's a comma, so I don't.
You'd think people would know his name if he was.
Well, he was the Cheeky Chappie. Maybe people were used to calling him Cheeky.
Mm.
Maybe they just called him Cheeks. Plus, before he was the Cheeky Chappie, he was just Harry, which isn't even like... Harry is short for clean. Harrison.
He was too clean-shaven.
Or Harold.
Pictures of him. His suits were very eccentric, too.
He wore a cowboy hat, though.
Very eccentric outfits.
Absolutely.
Look at that. Looks like he's like ready to go golfing, be a stand-up clown. Yeah. Look at that tie. It's huge. It's fantastic.
Can't you tell your tie's too wide?
He looks like Popeye came into some money.
And didn't know how to spend it.
Here's another one. It's called I Don't Care What I Say, Do I?
See?
That's nice, Maxie.
That's
I feel
really
like
nice.
That's a hard one, because if you're going to have your catchphrase have someone else's name in it, that means that person has to be around every time you want to say your catchphrase.
Yeah. So he was considered blue comedy, too.
Oh, yeah. Also he had two notebooks. He had a white notebook, and he had a blue notebook. And he wrote all of his clean jokes in the white notebook, and he wrote all of his dirty jokes in the blue notebook.
Is that where blue comes from?
So this almost has similar vibes like Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce is on there. Lenny Bruce was very controversial as far as his bits that we do, and we got arrested a bunch of times. So maybe even factors into the Beatles' choice for it. I mean, he seems like he was a very radical kind of dude.
And you can't help but liking him. That's one of his catchphrases, too. Yeah. You can't help but liking him.
And look at me. I look great.
And then here's my favorite. Ear.
Here.
Like, but it's, drop the
well,
H.
It's here, but you drop the H.
Oh, just
master
so ear. It's got like a main vibe.
Ear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, get over here.
Yeah, sir. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nose.
Yeah.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Knees.
Throat.
Please.
There'll never be another.
Eyeballs.
They don't make them anymore, duck.
They don't make any more, duck.
Anyway. Yeah, he couldn't be naughty on TV, so he stuck to live performances and records. And he was a beast. He kept performing, just killing it until 1958. He had a heart attack. And even then, he kept making records until 1963 after he stopped performing live because he needed to take it easy.
Take it easy.
He died on May 7th, 1963 at 68 years old. Not that old.
Womp womp. Dinner for one.
And his wife, Kathleen, she lived 9 more years. Died in 1972.
So Kathleen got to see his picture on the cover.
She did get. She would have gotten to see that. I wonder if she was the one that they got permission from.
She's probably the executor of the Cheeky Chappy estate.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Cheeky Chappy Co.
Oh, Lord.
CCC, Cheeky
Chappy. I'm just finding
Chateau.
His Blue Book naughty ones.
Yeah?
And some of these are pretty naughty.
Oh, you found the jokes?
Did you know the roses are red one?
No.
No.
I'm going to start off with one that's a little bit.
Roses are red, pussies are juicy.
Oh, it gets pretty close. So this one is actually about, okay, I'll start off with this one. I went skating the other week with a young lady on the ice, and we'd been going around for quite a while, and she kept on falling down. I said, "Have you hurt yourself?" She said, "No, I'm sorry to spoil your fun." I said, "You're not spoiling my fun. I'll keep it on ice."
I don't get it.
About because the fun would...
So it doesn't...
You're not spoiling the fun. I'll keep it on ice.
Yeah.
This is the naughty one, though. When roses are red, they're ready for plucking. When a girl is 16, she's ready for... Yeah. Yeah. It's the... Yeah.
Ready for... Yeah.
It's the... Drop the H in Yari. What? Oh, good Lord. No wonder they didn't let him on TV.
Well, his mom died of the flu, so
that
I think...
He doesn't have anything to do with not being able to be on TV.
No, I'm... That's what I was more...
Like, you know what? We can't let him be on TV.
I was more thinking, like, you had
died.
To get married before you died back then.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Or got polio, because if a woman gets polio...
Spanish flu?
She's not going to be able to have that baby because her pelvic muscles aren't going to be strong enough to push it out.
Yeah.
Because, you know what polio does, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
People can't see.
Yeah.
But I just scrunched up a little bit.
You're like, push, push, damn it. And she's like, I can't feel a thing. Give her an extra husband stitch. She won't know.
What a guy.
They probably would have let him said that on the Sid Caesar show of shows.
Well, in this day and age, if we had kept him cryogenically frozen, he would have fit perfect with Family Guy. Or
yeah, if we kept him on ice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? They might have kept everybody that was on the album cover on ice. Specifically for like 120th anniversary of the album cover, they'll just they'll thaw them, and then they'll have them take the picture again.
I was thinking it'd be fun to host a party where you just get a bunch of impersonators for everyone that's on the cover.
Oh wow, dude!
That'd be
when's your birthday? I feel like that would be the ultimate birthday present for you. You would like, you'd be like, I'm ready after this party. Just kill me. I've experienced everything.
Or you could just have, to make it simple, you could have everybody wear a cardboard cutout of the exact picture that they used for the cover.
No, they're dressing up. They're dressing up. They got the whole thing.
No face stains. It has to be the full Monty.
Everyone, how many people are you going to have at your birthday?
75 people.
75 people. That's a fair amount of people. That's
how many of them are just going to be Shirley Temple?
Three.
No.
Two.
No.
So two and a doll.
That's the whole thing. Is it's first come, first serve. There will be a, like, you know, like a, you can submit what you want. There's only so many male or female ones that you can do. First come, first serve.
All right.
I've actually wanted to have.
Can someone be the kick
departure
drum
from this, but it's themed. Uh-huh. I've always wanted to have a Clue, like, murder mystery party.
Oh.
Where you actually
dress up as Mrs. Peacock.
Find a manor or a mansion that you could act it out like.
I call Mr. Body.
But it would be really cool if each person was a character and you could play Clue. I don't know, maybe you had some like food or something. But yeah.
You got to eat when you're solving a murder mystery.
Oh, for sure.
You can't do that in every stomach.
Yeah, you can't do that. Make the wrong decisions. Make the wrong assumptions.
Grave mistakes.
Mr. Body, I promise I won't tell anyone who killed me. I won't play sides.
Mr. Body dies.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'll be Mr. Body.
And he'll know. He'll know who did it.
Who did it. But I won't say anything because the dead can't speak.
People are saying that.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
All clever stuff.
I'm just saying, I already have a black suit, and I feel like it would be more cost-effective on my part.
Who's your go-to Clue character that you ever picked?
Oh, to play as?
Yeah.
I don't know, any of the dudes.
Colonel Mustard has a pretty good stash.
Yeah. You have a really fantastic stash.
Oh, thanks, Jamie. I appreciate you saying that. Group myself.
I only speak the truth. I was Mr. Green. Oh, you know, I don't know what it was about him.
Is that his name, just Mr. Green?
Yeah, they've actually changed it. So my nephew, he's 8. So we've been going through, we'll play like card games and stuff, like when we do family nights or whatever. And I had brought up Clue. And he was like, what's Clue? And I was like, oh, it's this really cool game. And I was explaining it to him. And he was like, we should get that. See if Dad will get that. And so we bought it, and they've changed the names. It's like, it's a little bit more modernized, but they definitely, like, it's not Mr. Green, it's Mayor Green, or, I can't remember what the names are. It's hilarious. Let me look it up.
Oh, so that there's no pronouns? Just give them all job titles. That would make sense.
Yeah, it's a little bit more.
Is an air fryer one of the new weapons?
Let's see. Here we go. So it's still Miss Scarlet. She's an independent woman. Colonel Mustard, still Colonel Mustard. Mayor Green, Chef White, and Chef White is she has like short hair and it's white, so she's like, I don't know. She's got like a pixie cut. Solicitor Peacock.
Solicitor.
And or Professor Plum. Professor Plum stayed the same way. But they definitely changed the characters around.
Chef White, isn't that like the color of Pat Bateman's business card?
Oh, from
American Psycho?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that?
No, I'm sure it was like bone or tooth.
Yeah. It's, Helvetica.
Helvetica.
You know.
Double embossed on a...
Yeah.
Chef White.
Solicitor Peacock. You know,
hardly know her Peacock.
Where does this stop? I feel like in 5 years, it's just going to be Cock Solicitor. And we're supposed to be cool with that.
I think we
I get
do...
to be Cock Solicitor.
I think that would be super rad, though, to get a party.
Go. Yeah, I do too.
Wouldn't that?
Just, oh, yeah, for sure. I think that would be awesome. Like, if you could get. I feel like if we did it collectively. Could easily get that would be a fun themed party.
You can sell tickets.
Find a spot that you could like host it. And then music.
And then everybody's got to pose. You got to take the picture too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Halloween.
Well, that's the point of it.
Yeah.
It's a Halloween party. Oh my God. All right, I'm already putting stuff.
Stay tuned for that, folks.
Noting this.
More on that as it develops.
Yeah, you could have the poster say there's nothing. No one's going to be lonely at the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Good time, party time,
in
experience.
It sells itself. People like the Beatles. Not everybody, but people love the Beatles.
Not everybody, yeah. But the ones that do.
I'd say like 85 to 90% of our friends would be like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
It does sell itself.
But everybody likes to dress up.
It does sell itself, and that's what's going to make it so easy for our guests to sell tickets to their guests.
True.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band Pyramid Scheme.
Pyramid Scheme.
And all you got to do to join is grow a mustache.
Three easy payments of $65.95.
Sparkling waters. And your Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band Good Time podcast clipboards. And get to stepping on your Sgt. Pepper Lonely Hearts Club Band Good Time sneakers. Because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. We want you going door to door.
Door to door.
Y-Files did that.
We know that works.
You know Y-Files went door to door?
No, the Y-Files did sneakers.
Of course they did.
Sneakers, yeah. Limited edition ones. The tipping point. It's crazy. Limited edition sneakers.
Speaking of tipping points, let's tip this into the finale of the show. Let's wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Max Miller. He's got to go.
He's canceled. We're canceling him. Who's getting his spot? Huh. Bo Burnham? I don't know. I want to say too easy.
Just because it's easy.
Noel Fielding.
Who's that?
Noel Randy Fielding?
Randy Bush.
Yeah, he's one half.
Oh, yeah, okay. Is he the one that's on the...
very posh.
The one also in the IT Crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Raven.
Vampire guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is it Raven or whatever?
I don't remember his name. He works
like,
in like...
It's the, like Raven Blacksmith.
In the records room or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. He's awesome. I love him. He's great. He was actually just on Jimmy Fallon not too long ago.
Is he pretty risque?
I think he's more like... his whole shtick was like
irreverent.
He was very like... He had that like Rod Stewart, Bowie, you know, Jagger, like, you know, aesthetic with the mullet and everything. So I think he was more like very posh rock star vibe.
Yeah, he's also on the British Bake Off show too.
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he does wear cowboy hats.
He
not all the time,
well.
But he
wears them well. And the Mighty Boosh was, I mean, classic.
And he's British.
That checks the boxes.
I'm not saying that that's perfect,
because
I don't know that he's known for being... Oh, you know what? What about
he's
Russell
a little blue.
Brand?
Russell Brand. He's a little more blue.
Also like 16-year-old girls.
Oh, my God.
Specifically.
He's very cheeky.
He is cheeky. How about fictional character? Austin Powers.
Sure.
Just a random fictional character?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Phil Collins as the Robin Williams genie as one of the replacements.
Or other way around.
I mean, that's...
The genie as...
It doesn't matter. It's just a... Well, no.
Well, it's Robin Williams as the genie as Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the picture is a blue Phil Collins with a genie outfit.
That really is all it is.
So we're talking about we're talking about a replacement for this?
Yeah. And there's no real rules. Like in the last episode you were on, we switched out Sutcliffe with his wife.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Astrid.
Let's see.
Which I was mentioning earlier in that 45 minutes that I got the new information on Sutcliffe. We talked about that guy, Klaus Voormann. So he ended up playing with George and Paul, I think it was, on their solo albums.
Oh, solo albums? Did you do the Concert for George stuff? I'm going to be curious. I just actually got the DVD of that. I've been wanting to watch that because I love George's solo stuff.
Love George.
Yeah.
I don't know. He might have died before that.
Hmm.
I don't know. But I know that he's like on the recordings on like the first couple solo albums.
Pretty cool. That's awesome.
For the solo Beatles.
What's your... Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to get off track, but...
Yeah, we don't do that on this show.
What's your favorite solo
Ram.
McCartney?
Ram. Every time Ram.
Forgot this is another example of why we're friends. What about George?
All things must pass.
Okay, so.
What about Ringo?
That's a wrap. So we're just going to leave. We're about to go frolic as best friends.
Yes.
But what about Ringo, yeah?
Probably I only like have like one live all-star band thing.
I was gonna say, I feel like there's only really just
he has a Christmas album I learned about.
You gotta have a Christmas album. I mean,
the other Beatles don't.
Another reason why you gotta have a Christmas album. You're the only Beatle that has it.
You know, he does a little Drummer Boy on there.
You have to. I mean, that would be just
wired.
Ridiculous if you didn't. That's a given. It's a given.
Got it.
Who we got?
And this is a compromise. Another Mike Myers fictional character.
Oh, don't say the guru.
No. The little English boy, Simon, who likes to do drawings because he's always calling people cheeky monkeys.
He's like the looker.
Craft work.
Cheeky butt looker. Yeah.
Yes, monkey.
That's Dieter from Sprockets.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking about.
No, he plays a little boy in a bathtub, and he draws drawings.
On SNL, right?
My name is Simon, and I like to do drawings.
That's it.
I don't remember that.
Cheeky monkey.
Yeah, he's
bum looker.
That's it.
So it's Mike Myers as Simon, the cheeky monkey.
Brilliant.
All right.
Perfect.
Do you guys want to do anything with AI today?
Do we have anything to do?
I don't know. I got nothing.
How about, and I would recommend doing a hard edit right now.
Uh-huh.
How about you pull something up for Mae West having some really cheeky conversation with the cheeky chappy? Because who was cheekier than Mae West?
All right, so we got ChatGPT in the chat. We gave it a little prompt for a little cheeky conversation between your favorite of mine, Mae West, who will be played by Leg Thigh, and our new friend, Max Miller, as performed by Dan.
Yeah, because they're pretty close to each other on that cover. There's no way they didn't get into it.
No, they're in the same quadrant.
Oh, well, if it isn't Max Miller, the cheekiest chap in town. What's the latest mischief you've been stirring up, mister?
Oh, May, darling, you know me too well. Just trying to keep up with your scandalous standards. How's tricks, love?
Oh, Max, you know me. Always sitting on the pot, raising a few eyebrows. Just enough about me, darling. What's your secret to keeping the audience in stitches?
Oh, May, it's all about timing. And a little sprinkle of naughtiness. You know, a wink here, a nudge there. And before you know it, they're roaring with laughter.
Timing and naughtiness sounds like my kind of recipe. Say, Max, have you ever thought about joining forces for a double act? The world might not be ready for that much charm and cheek in that in one show.
May, darling, if we joined forces, the stage might combust from the sheer sassiness. But what a way to go out with a bang.
Oh, Max, you always know how to make a gal feel like $1 million. Well, let's save the fireworks for the stage, shall we? Who knows what trouble we could cook up together.
Trouble? With us? Darling, it's practically guaranteed. But isn't that half the fun?
Oh, absolutely, darling. After, as they say, too much of a good thing can be wonderful. And with us, it's bound to be a downright scandalous.
Enough beating around the bush. Let's fuck.
ChatGPT getting real blue.
That was cool. That was kind of mild for what I expected out of Mae West and Max Miller. Maybe Mae West was too old for Max Miller.
Who knows? What's the math there?
Well, I mean, she's not exactly 16.
Oh, yeah, okay. I see what you mean.
Yeah, that is Max's.
He did have a preference.
Preference, yeah, that's true.
Well, Winston, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Well, love to have you again when the stars align.
Yeah, I would love to. That'd be great.
And Dan, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Discussing.
Just maintaining and experiencing the new flesh, watching our bodies metamorphosize and become one with the walls of the room.
Did you have Jack Nicholson there for a second?
Did I?
Yeah. It was a little dry.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here. And hope to do it again real soon.
You will, Jack. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Petty. Not Tom Petty. George Petty, the artist. Because the next figure is a painting by Mr. Petty.
Mr. George Petty.
It's a Petty girl. Until then.
Good night. Well, actually, is it nighttime now?
We don't know.
It's only been 45 minutes.
Until then, good time.
At least an hour.
Good times.
Good time.
Good time.
What was the name of the show that Max Miller did? His movie? What was the movie? That's a good word.
Hootman.
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 And a hootman to you.